chapter 5. If you could please turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, from verse 1 onwards. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 1. So if you could please open your Bibles and turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and that were washing and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out unto the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they began unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes, and which had they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, Simon, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. I repeat the verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Just a few verses from Hebrews 11. If you could please turn to Hebrews 11, chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen, not made of things which do appear. Verse 6 of the same chapter, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Loving gracious Father, once again, Lord, go on before thee, and pray for your blessing upon thy word, upon thy servant, that, Lord, every soul that hears may be blessed. And thank you for praising me through your word. And bless, Lord, that you may continue your walk of faith, grow in your love, in your faith, and speak to hearts this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we come back to Luke chapter 5, if you turn back to the chapter we were looking at, a very special morning in the life of four disciples. As you just read, Jesus had come to Lake Gennesaret. Jesus was about the age of 30 years of age, as we read this passage. If you look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, by this time, John the Baptist is in prison. And we read that Jesus began his ministry preaching, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And as we come to this particular portion, this is happening in Sea of Galilee in the west. It's Lake Gennesaret. It's believed to be a freshwater lake. And if you look at the background, what happened the previous night, we see that Andrew, Peter, James, and John are partners in a business, as we read in verse 10. They had a fishing business. We saw there were two ships standing on the shore. And we saw that they had caught nothing, For the whole night they've been fishing, they had nothing at all. And they were drying the net so that they can go back possibly the next night or later in the day. And this is what happened on that morning. The Lord came at that place, at the sea, Lake Gennesaret. Firstly, the Lord asked Simon. We do know Peter's name is still Simon here, noted. If you know in John's Gospel chapter 1, and if you read verse 41 and verse 42, the very first disciple of the 12 is Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. Andrew was believed to be John the Baptist. He was a disciple of John the Baptist, and later he became the follower of Jesus. The very first thing that Andrew did when he found Jesus and when John the Baptist shared who Jesus was as Messiah, the very first thing a brother does for is he goes to his brother Peter, Simon, and he shares, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah." And by now, as we look at this portion this morning, I would like to share a few things on faith, and especially a few things about faith of Peter, briefly. So we see Peter had known about Jesus through Andrew. And if you read about chapter 4 from verse 33 onwards, we read about Simon Peter was married at the time. His mother-in-law was very sick and with fever, and Jesus had came to his home just a few days before this account. And Jesus had healed his mother-in-law, and he had also many people who were possessed with demons came to his home, and he had cast out many demons. So he had seen a miracle. But now we see that Jesus asked them to go back to fishing down the lake into the deep waters. We saw in verse 4, the Lord asked them, he taught them the word on the shore, and he asked Peter, Simon, go back to the lake, out to the deep, and let down. It's very hard if you have dried the net. It takes a long time. But here we see obedience of Simon, Peter. He takes the ship. He goes to, obviously he has to go, he has to go to the deep. He has to go into the middle of the lake. And when he puts the net, we see they catch so much of fishes. The net's breaking. What do? Peter, Simon calls for the other ship, probably the John and James. So they both come. They both load the ship. It's written that both the ship was about to sink because so much of fishes. So many fishes caught that day. And that was overwhelming for Simon Peter. And that was, he immediately felt, as we read in verse 8 of this chapter, Peter said he fell down at Jesus' knees and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He felt he was in the presence of the Holy God. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. The second thing Simon Peter did is, firstly, he repented, as we read in verse 8. Second, he believed. And third, as we read in verse 11, that they left all that they have caught. They left the two ships. They left all the fishes, we said in verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. We just turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 4. You read the same account. You read that from, and Jesus verse 19 says in Matthew 4:19, and he said unto them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. He said, he also called them. And verse 22 said, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. They left their family. They left their business. They left their two ships. Those fishes they caught would have been sufficient for months, but they left everything. That is what faith does in each one of our life, a new perspective, a new purpose. And this is what happened. A New Testament believers, disciples, the very 2,000 years ago sometime, common man, a fisherman, and Jesus had told in John 1:41, when Andrew bought Peter, Peter's name was Simon. Simon was called, your name will be called Cephas. In Aramaic, it's called Cephas. In Greek, it's Peter, which means a stone or a rock. But when you look at throughout the gospel, Peter was not a solid rock. He was as weak as anyone could be. But in the New Testament church, as the church began after resurrection, we see Peter became a pillar of church. He was the rock. His faith was the rock. As we read in Hebrews 11, we know this verse quite well about faith. Faith is, which is something not seen, no evidence, yet you believe all your heart. You depend, you trust, and you believe. This morning we worshipped an invisible God, a God who suffered for us 2,000 years ago. But when you look at faith, when you look at this on this aspect of faith, is anyone born with faith? You know, we have a little Jamie worshiping God now, Sam worshiping God. We have Jamie, a little child. None of us are born with faith, is it? We come, we hear at appointed time, but the privilege we know, somebody preached the gospel to us. Somebody would have been saved at Sunday school. Children may have heard the gospel. Somebody from coming from Hindu or Muslim family, they heard the gospel to someone. It was indeed a great privilege. Firstly, no one is born with faith. It is a gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, we see that faith is the gift of God. It is undeserved gift. It is given by God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 11, we see read like this in Romans chapter 10, that faith is something which we believe in our heart. If verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth he confess unto with the heart a soul believeth. It is in your heart. It is in my heart. We believe. We believe in this. We haven't seen God. We haven't seen heaven. But with all our heart, we believe. Secondly, thirdly, we see it is a, we believe by the free will. When Peter was called, the four disciples were called, come, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. It was a free choice. It was on a free will. It was their choice to make. This time we've seen many countries that are called conversion laws in place. No one can convert anyone. It is by free will. It is a choice we make in our life. So we see it's a divine call. It is a divine thing happens in one heart. It is a gift of God. It is believed in our heart. It is by free will. We see in Hebrews, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, we are saved through faith. It is by grace of God through, we've been saved through faith. It is a gift of God. The salvation we have, the eternal life, the peace, the salvation, the future, the hope, we have been saved from sin, from death, through faith. It is a medium. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we read, we have been justified by faith. And we have peace with God in Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified, made just. The day we believed in Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, you have been called not guilty in the sight of God. As if you have not sinned. We've been made just. The just shall live by faith. None of us can by works attain salvation. None of us can by works can have just 1 minute in heaven. It is only by faith we could be justified. It is only by faith in what God's provision is done through his Son, one could be redeemed, one could be justified. Now, as you look at the Old Testament times and the New Testament times, how did the Old Testament saints came to know God their salvation? The Bible says in Hebrews 11, as we read, it is by faith, whether it is in Old Testament saints or the New Testament saints, faith was a center in reaching to God. In verse 6, we read of Hebrews 11, without faith, no one can please God. Without faith, no one can reach God. We can look at many accounts. We read in verse 4 and 5, we see about Abel, the very next generation after Adam. Adam and Eve had seen God. They probably did not need much faith to know because they had seen that fellowship. But Abel had not seen God, the Creator. But Abel was able to offer to God a better sacrifice by faith. We saw Enoch, the seventh of generation. He walked with God by faith. It pleased, and he was no more. One of the great patriarchs, Abraham, is called a father of faith. If you read in Romans chapter 4, if you think Abraham was justified or saved by works, we read that question in verse 2. Paul puts, if Abraham was justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed on that beautiful night. Genesis 15:6, we read, on the starry night, when God told, look at the stars, so shall thy seeds be. And when God gave a promise after the one seed, all the nations shall be blessed. Abraham believed, and his faith was credited to righteousness. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, the elders obtained good report. By faith, elders obtained good report. The word elders is used for all the heroes of the Old, even as well as New Testament. Even John, who was a disciple, who was on the shore of Sea of Galilee on that day, who came to know Jesus Christ. If you read the letters, the second John and third John, he writes elders to Gaius and Demetrius later in the chapter. So that he was quite elderly at the time when we wrote the second letter and third letter John. But elders, our forefathers are the heroes of faith, the men and women of faith. The elders obtain good report. Without faith, brothers and sisters, we cannot please God. We cannot reach God. We cannot touch God. And the Bible declares by faith alone we've been justified. Now, as we come back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, chapter 5, we saw that on that morning, four disciples followed Jesus Christ, John, Peter, James, and Andrew. They became the pillar of church. They probably did not know the gravity of what decision they were making on that day, but what they did, they became a great instrument. The Bible promised, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. And we know in Christ Jesus, we have eternal life. So as we see, they gave up everything. They gave up their boats, the ships, the business. They left their mother and father, as we read in John, the sons of Zebedee. The many here at times, due to faith, we lose our brothers, sister, father, mother. But praise God that in faith we have peace with God. We have a comforter. One day, Peter asked this question, we have left everything for you, O Lord. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 44, it says, Jesus said, whosoever shall have left their father and mother family for my sake shall receive 100-fold. And Peter was given that reward that he will rule 12 tribes of Israel. in the new earth and new heaven. Now, as we read about Peter's life, we see, as we come to 2 Peter, if you can turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Peter writes like this. He says in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity or love. Here Peter reminds us, we all begin with faith, but to faith we add godliness. To faith, we add knowing God more, the knowledge of God. And we see the character we build, the patience, the temperance, brotherly kindness. And the end is love. It is a desire of God that we all grow in faith. Peter is not saying that it is a formula that the first comes godliness, next comes knowing God. It all takes part. It all happens. Faith begins a new realm in God's spiritual life, and we are all transformed day by day. Peter began 3 years he was with Lord Jesus Christ, and he, as we read the chapter from John's Gospel, chapter 1:41, he knew he was a Messiah. He followed him, he repented, he believed. But he probably did not know who Jesus was until after some time. You read in Matthew's Gospel chapter 16, if you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 16 and verse 18. This is after some time where Jesus has done many miracles. They had heard many sermons and they had seen the miracles of 5,000 fed. And here we see a question asked by our Lord in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, what do people say I am? Some said prophet, some said Elijah. And a question was put to Peter. And Peter said in verse 18, Simon Peter said in verse 16 of chapter 16, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed are those Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Knowing Jesus Christ as a personal Savior is indeed a great revelation. As we read here, it is a gift of God. It is by divine. We have been chosen by God. Even this morning, as we were logging in, we were discussing that there are many who are in a survey that only few has put they are Christian. And they are dedicated in a recent survey which was done only in thousands or hundreds. And here we are this morning, knowing the privilege, who the Savior is, what is the hope, what is the truth. And it is a divine revelation. Paul did say the gospel is a revelation from God. It is like a dynamite. It is a power of God of salvation, as we read in Romans 1:16. Now here we see the revelation was given to Peter that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Messiah, and now he's come to the full knowledge, and he continued to have revelation even after Jesus was crucified, raised from the dead. And after resurrection, Jesus met Peter at least 3 or 4 times or 40 days. Now, John said in 1 John, if we read in 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have tasted, touched, seen, in him was life. The life was manifested. The word of God was manifested. This was their testimony. This is what they saw. And their purpose changed and they followed. Now, as we saw in Matthew's gospel, faith of Peter was declared as like a rock. On this rock, the Lord said, I will build my church. Not on Peter. The Lord was telling, on this faith, the Lord has built. Each one of us here has this faith, the faith in Jesus Christ. faith in the Savior, faith in the Son of God, who died and rose again and has given us the power of resurrection. On this faith alone, we are all being called. And that was what the Lord said. Many have taken this verse wrong, and it thought Peter was a pope. That was not what the Lord said. On this faith, the rock. Faith is also being compared by Lord in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. It says faith is like a mustard seed, a small seed, which can be planted. That small seed can take the roots and grow into a great plant or a tree. That's what happens. All the Lord needs from us is faith like a mustard seed, which can change, which can take a new purpose, a great calling, which the Lord has done in our lives. Now, as I was meditating on, I was questioning myself, how does the faith grows in a believer's life? How does the faith grows? You know, and I look back about 15 or 16 years ago, knowing Jesus Christ personally, we are all so much fired up in knowing more about God. As we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, faith adds the knowledge to desire to know God, the hunger to know God. I think it is a very key for each one of us to keep that hunger within ourselves. It plays a deep role for each one of us to grow. As we read also in 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 2 and 3, we see that as a newborn babe, desire a sincere milk of the word, that he may grow thereby, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. As a parent, you would desire your child to grow. If you desire the milk, the child grows with milk, then goes to solid. It is a desire of the Lord that we grow. As babes, we desire for sincere milk of the word of God. And we also grow to understand the word, have solid meat one day. It is similar. Also, secondly, the word of God plays a major role in each one of our lives. I'm sure when we look back since you're born, it is the word of God which is building our faith. It gives all the nutrients we need to continue to be consistent in our faith. That's what Paul writes in Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. From hearing the word of God. The time we spend in various times, the time we take to go to Bible studies, you know, traveling out to go to a brother's home, a sister's home, and then all that we do, all that we spend in our quiet time in church here, in different places, the way the Lord speaks and gives you that right word to continue to build. Faith does come from hearing the word of God. We need to give our very prominence to the word of God in our life. And most importantly, I've experienced faith through the brothers and sisters, the fellowship in the Lord. Over the past years, I've known, for 10 or 15 years, I've known most of you, where I've seen a transformation, how God has changed many of us from what we were to what we are. And the faith of each one, as we fellowship, as we know each other's faith, faith is also contagious. We talk about COVID now. We are unable to gather because COVID is contagious. But when we look at faith, faith is also contagious. When we look at each other's faith, we grow in faith. It is like an example, if you have a campfire, you see a coal heating up together with different coals together. And that one coal is very hot because it's together heating up, it's red. But if you just take the hot coal outside and just place it outside the hot bunch of coals, you see the coal loses its hotness. It becomes dark, it loses its heat. And fellowship, that's why the Lord said in Hebrews, do not forsake assembling of God. And fourthly, I feel the life experiences we have, everyday experiences, we grow in faith day by day. Many miracles we see in our life, little to great. We see children praying and they see miracles happening and they grow in faith. As a church life, we've seen answered prayers. It may have taken long, but answered prayers. We praise God for Rohan today to worshiping God. It is an answered prayer. Our faith grows to know God, the experiences we have. And most importantly, in a believer's life, when we have a trial or challenges, that is when we grow more stronger in faith. That is what has happened in many elders' lives who had good report. It happens in my life. That's why James says like this, for a believer who goes through a challenging time with tests and trials and tribulation, he says in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Of course, we could not take any pain or suffering like we can take it as a joyful thing. But what happens at the end when we trust God, when we depend on God, when we seek God, when we rely on God, when we grow in faith, our faith grows. There's something coming out of this trial. When God allows through a believer to go through, there is some gold coming out of it. And that is precious. And that is what James was bringing that. So as we come, as we look at faith, this is the desire of God that we all grow in faith day by day. And it has a measure. And here we come back to Peter's life. As we looking at the disciples, Peter, John, James, and Andrew, the initial calling of a New Testament believers in Luke's Gospel chapter 5 and Matthew 4. It was Peter who was very impulsive in his faith. If you look at Matthew's, as we move on with Matthew's Gospel chapter 14, if you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 28 to 30, this is a story when Peter was with the Lord. The Lord had fed 5,000 people on the other day. The Lord sent the disciples to go back in a ship, and the Lord decided to stay back in the mountain to pray alone, to be alone. And we read in verse 25, the disciples are going in the ship. In verse 25, it was the fourth watch, which means between 3 a.m. early morning, in the middle of the night, or around 3 to 6 a.m., and they suddenly see, the disciples see someone walking on the water, sea. They saw him, and it says the disciples were terrified. They thought it was a ghost, and they were terrified. And we see verse 27, the Lord said, be of good cheer, it is I. So when Peter saw Jesus was walking on the water, he was astonished, and he said in verse 28, bid me come unto thee of water. We see this leap of faith of Peter. We see this impulsive faith to walk. He wanted to walk with the water as the Lord did. And we do see the Lord said, come, walk with me. And we do see Peter walked on the water. He did take a few steps. He had some baby steps. He walked on the water. But when we read in verse 30, he saw the wind, boisterous wind. He was afraid. And he began to sing and cried, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched out his hand and said, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? This verse speaks to me. We take a leap of faith. We begin. But when the storms or when wind blows, when trials come, I get shaken. We could get shaken. We could be troubled. We could have doubts. We could have fear. Fear and doubts in our life causes our faith to hinder. We see Peter took his eyes off from Jesus, it says. As soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to drown. But it's also important to know how Peter again believed that Lord can save him, and he cried, Lord, save me. And that was Peter, who was impulsive. And we see from this passage, we also learn in our life, we can be feared with doubts and fear, but the Lord's desire that we be confident in our faith. It is the same Peter, as we move on, we see in his life. He was very bold and strong. When Lord said on the night he was about to be betrayed, on the same day when the Lord had said he would suffer, he would die, that you will all forsake me? Peter said, not I, Master. I will be with you in prison. I will die with you. But the same Peter, you know, in John's gospel, that he denied him three times. The same day the Lord told him that he will deny. And when the Lord, as Brother Sanjeev was reminding us of the suffering of Christ, when he began to see the suffering, he could not take the cup together. He denied the Lord three times. But I just wanted to take you in John's Gospel, chapter 21, quickly. If you turn with me to 21, from verse 6 to 21, we don't read it, but here we see Peter gone far. This is after the Lord has been resurrected, crucified, resurrected. This is the third time the Lord seeing disciples together at the Sea of Galilee, the same sea. And we see Peter had seen an empty tomb with John. We do see the account Peter and John ran. He had seen the empty tomb. Peter was seen the risen Lord at least twice before, the first day and also the eighth day with Thomas. And here we see the third account with disciples. Here we see Peter says, I'm going back to fishing in verse 3. For 3 years since Luke chapter 5, we don't see Peter going back to fishing. But here we see Peter is back to fishing, and the disciples also join him. And here we see the Lord is on the shore, and they haven't got nothing, no fishes the whole time they're trying to catch. And they do not know it's the Lord on the shore yet. And we see in verse 5, and the Lord asks children, do you have any meat? And they say, no. And he says, cast them on the right side. And it says they caught 153 fishes, is what noted in this passage. And John says to Peter, it is the Lord at the shore. And we see Peter jumps to the water. He swam nearly 300 feet to the shore. And the Lord is there at the shore, ready, asked him to bring the fishes. He's caught one of the fishes to prepare. And he makes breakfast at the shore. And he asks Peter this question three times. Do you love me more than this? Peter, feed my sheep. Three times Peter denies, three times the Lord asks, do you love me more than this? Just take a pause and think what was going in Peter's mind. Peter was thinking, I think he was thinking he was worthless. He had rejected Christ. He thought he won't be any use anymore. He had gone back to fishing. He had forgotten the Lord's calling 3 years ago. Come, I'll make you fishers of men. Brothers and sisters, it's so important in our life to remind each time how I and you were called, the day of my salvation. If you're able to remember, it is so important. It regenerates us. Peter was reminded that particular day, the same calling 3 years ago, what had happened on the shore. And Peter remembered the purpose of his calling, how he was called. That day, Peter was restored by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was restored back. Since that time, we don't see Peter wavering in his faith. After, we know on the day of Pentecost, they all received the Holy Spirit. If you read the book of Acts, you see Peter a different man. He was of boldness. He was a pillar of church. He had no fear of death. He preached the gospel on the first day. He received the Holy Spirit in 2:41. You see the words that when Peter preached, it pricked their heart. 3,000 people were saved. Later, you see 5,000 people were saved. And on the other day, we were looking at the prayer of the church when Peter was in prison, when James was killed and Peter was about to be martyred. The next day, we read about Peter sleeping next to two soldiers, peacefully sleeping, not fear of death. Historically, we see Peter died. It's not in the Bible. We see Peter died upside down on the cross. He became a great instrument in the life of John Mark, who wrote Gospel of Mark. It's believed Peter gave many of the accounts to Mark, who wrote Gospel of Mark. We have two letters of Peter. Peter became the rock. His faith became the rock. Now, as quickly we look at this, we look at Jesus accepted Peter regardless of failures. Regardless of my failure, regardless, even as the children of God, when we fail, God continues to work with us. That is our God. That is our Lord Jesus. He restored. We saw Jesus reached out to Peter as a shepherd looks at the lost sheep. That's why it's called the Good Shepherd. He will never leave us. He always looks for us when we are far. Now, quickly turn with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 14. Sorry, Matthew's Gospel chapter 13. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 13 and verse 44. I shall read for you. Verse 44 saying, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure, hid in a field, that which a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In these two parables, both speak about finding something we were looking for. One parable speaks about a treasure was found in a field, and that man sold everything he had and bought that field. A merchant was seeking a pearl, and when he found that pearl he was looking for, he sold all that he had. He looked no more. In life of Peter, John, and James, they looked no more. They found what they were looking for. They gave all that they had, their fishes, their ships, their family, all that they had. And they surrendered and they found this treasure. Who is our treasure, brothers and sisters? It is my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ is the treasure. Do we ever ponder what the Lord has stored for each one of us? When the Lord said, I'm coming back for you to take you to heaven. Do we ever ponder? Do we ever think, just reading Revelation 20, 21, what the Lord has stored for in heaven for each one of us? The glorious heaven made of the gates of pearls, roads, streets of gold, the tabernacle of God with men. There's no sun and moon. God himself the light. Importantly, the Lamb of God dwells. We are going there because of Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is there. That's why I'm going. That's why you and I have the privilege of going. What can you compare? What can you buy? This parable does not mean that we can buy anything from selling. There is no value we can hold this for treasure. The treasure here is Jesus Christ and the salvation he's given us. All we can do is have a firm faith, grow in faith, have full assurance, full confidence. On the other hand, Jesus says, as we read this morning in worship, he has said before us, we are his glory, we are his pearl, we are the apple of his eye. He has given everything for us. He's given his life. There's nothing more he can do. So as we look at Peter's life, Peter asked this question in Matthew's Gospel chapter 19 and verse 27. Matthew's Gospel chapter 19 and verse 27, he said, and Jesus said unto him, verse 27 said, Peter said, what we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that he which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses of brethren or sisters, or father or mother or wife or children, or lands for my namesake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. The Lord is promising not only salvation, eternal life, not only eternal life with him, but rewards everyone who has suffered for him, who has lost his father or mother or brothers and sisters. The Lord promises 100-fold reward. In John chapter 5, verse 10, we read this, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God hath given us to us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that he have life, eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." We do not have to buy, sell anything. All we could do is believe in what has been completed 2,000 years ago. By believing by faith alone, by grace alone, we have all this stored for us, eternal life, rewards, which God has promised. Brothers and sisters, let's take a moment in the light of the Word. As the Word of God reminds us, the faith the Lord is looking at is not 20% faith, 50% faith, a fully surrendered heart. Faith, we haven't seen the Lord, we haven't seen the heaven. Blessed are they who have not seen me yet believe. Is there anything in my heart or your heart is holding back to trust in the Lord? You may be coming often hearing the Word, but pray that today may be the day of your salvation. As Peter and John, James and Andrew followed the Lord, repent, believe, and follow. That's what happened in my life, and pray that it may happen in all our life. And if there's any chance, we may have gone far, we may be disappointed with our failures. This story reminds me, Jesus accepted Peter regardless of failures. He restored Peter, he can restore me and you. And God is a rewarder of faith. God, we can only please him through the walk of faith. May this be our purpose in our life, to please him, to walk a walk of faith. And we can pray in our hearts that we may be consistent in our faith. We may be not wavering, not double-minded, not fearful, not doubting, but have complete assurance. As Fanny Crosby Sing had that song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste, glory divine. That full assurance may rule in our hearts. May the God bless. Let us pray and close. Loving, gracious Father, we thank you for this precious word. Thank you for speaking to me, especially to walk a walk of faith. Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, we pray that, Lord, as the disciples prayed, increase our faith. Help us to grow in our faith. Help us to be steadfast in our faith. Help us to be consistent in our faith. Help us not to be doubtful or fearful, but Lord, run the race, as Paul reminded, that to keep the faith till the end, for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thanks, man.